Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. This is the reading of God's word. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Oh, grant us an ear to hear your word. And as we hear your word, let our faith grow. That we'll be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what your Son has done and what he has accomplished for us. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Oh, Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly and understood by all of us correctly, and let us believe your word and let us obey to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Through chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, it is a Christian hymn. We are learning more of Jesus Christ, just like any parts of the Bible, we're learning about Jesus Christ. Verses 15 through 17, he is the Lord of creation. He is the firstborn of all creation, meaning he has the authority of the firstborn. He possesses all things and he rules over all things. And all the things are created for Jesus Christ, for his glory. And we come to verse 18 through 20. Here we learn that he is the firstborn of the new creation. He is the Savior Lord. He is the head of the body, as we saw last time. Head of the body, the church. And we who are united to him are his body. All the life and the power comes from the head. And will grow and will be just like him. Now, verses 18b through 19, that's our passage today. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. We have already studied the phrase, the firstborn from the dead. He is the Savior Lord. He is the firstborn of all those who resurrect to a glorified body. He is the master, the owner, the Lord, and the king of all his people. He possesses them and he rules over them. And here we also learn that he is the beginning. He is the beginning of the new community of God. The beginning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 says, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep." Jesus Christ is the first fruit. The church age, as you know, is age of harvest. And the first fruit has been already harvested, which means harvesting of the other fruits, you and me, is to follow. So at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the second coming has already begun. The last harvest has already begun. Because he is the first fruit. Spiritually speaking, you and I who are saved We already been harvested already. You and I have been already gathered unto God's house. And that reality will be visibly consummated when Jesus returns. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 23 says, "But each in his own order, Christ the first fruit, after that, those who are Christ's at his coming." See, there's order in resurrection, order in harvesting. I mean, you already know. Farmers, they go out and harvest the first fruits. Then rest of the harvest. Just like God has already gathered the first fruit, which is Jesus Christ. But spiritually speaking, all of us, we already been harvested. Gathered unto his barn, heavenly barn, his house. And even now, we are worshiping God at that place, spiritually speaking. And I want you to really see the reality of being set apart from the world, how we have been harvested unto God. See, you and the world is separated. And that reality is clearly seen on the Lord's Day as God's people gather unto his church to worship him. Yeah, as you come out of your house, coming to the church, realize, hey, I am set aside, set apart from this world. I am separate from this world because I belong to God. This is your heavenly reality. He is the King of all who will be resurrected to a glorified body. And Jesus is the beginning of that heavenly community of God. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. I pray that you hear what God says to you through that verse. That God's desire is that Jesus Christ will have the first place in everything. That word or phrase, first place, you could translate that in many different words. Preeminence, supremacy, superiority, dominance, the highest, or sovereignty. Through all history and through all redemptive history, Jesus Christ, as the Lord of the new creation, be preeminent over all things. This is the will of God. This is the purpose of God. Through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, he himself will come to have first place in everything. It brings so much joy to our hearts to hear this. That ultimate purpose of God is that Jesus Christ will have the first place in everything. All history goes on for this purpose. And I want you to realize that we live for this very purpose. Our ultimate purpose is not about wealth or health in this world. All that are secondary, side purposes. No matter what happens in this world, whether good things happen to us or not, whether we make much money or not, whatever that happens in this world, true purpose of God will be accomplished. And that purpose is for Jesus Christ to have first place in everything. Brothers and sisters, it is okay. Whatever the problems you might have, yes, at the time of suffering, it is hard. We're not minimizing that suffering. But ultimately, it is okay. The ultimate purpose of God will be accomplished. I mean, it is truly a serious problem if God's purpose would not be accomplished, but it will. Jesus will come to have first place in everything. See, our focus is not what's going to happen to me here on earth today or tomorrow. But our desire is that Jesus will have the first place in everything. This is the purpose of Christianity. And if you do not understand this way, you have it so wrong. Because it's not about you. It's all about Jesus Christ. Amen. We are not saying that we must ignore our present life in this world. But what is truly important for us is that God's purpose is accomplished, and compared to that God's purpose, everything else is secondary to us. And the purpose of God, I say again and I will say again and again, that Jesus will come to have that first place in everything. And if that is accomplished, then so what? So what happens to our lives? I mean, are we not willing to even die so that he could have that first place in everything? See, this is our confession. He must increase and I must decrease. Amen. Nothing else really matters to us as long as Jesus will come to have first place in everything. Oh, brothers and sisters, it really is not about us. It's all about our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole history and whole redemptive history, it goes on because of this purpose of God. See, we think that we are center of everything, that whole history is centered on us, and that is not true. Let us not ever think that it is about us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 11, 9 through 11. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you see that this is what's going to happen at the end? No matter what happens in history, at the end, every knee will bow to Christ, every tongue will confess Jesus as God. Amen. That's what's going to happen.
That's right.
God highly exalted him. What is exalted here is not his divine nature. As an eternal God, nothing has changed. It is not saying that Jesus is exalted among the Trinity. No, that's not what it's saying. But he is exalted as the Lord of the new creation, as the Messiah. He now has the first place in everything. See, when it comes to Jesus Christ, you have to think about him. You have to understand him in two levels. I give you an example. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus says, Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in on earth. Yeah. See, as the eternal God, Jesus Christ always has the all authority. So what is he saying that the authority has been given to me as if he did not have that authority before? But like I said, you have to understand him in two levels. As God, eternal God, he will always have that authority. But as the Messiah, as God-man, as that Messiah who represents his people, now, after he finishes his redemptive work, all authority is now given to him.
Amen.
See, he is given the name which is above every name. At his incarnation, when he became a man, Jesus, name was given. But now to you and to me, not only Jesus, but Lord. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He rules over all things, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the King of all who will resurrect to a glorified body. As the firstborn from the dead, he will receive all honor, all adoration, all praises, and all worship forever and ever.
Amen.
And this is what history and redemptive history is all about. Oh, please, brothers and sisters, don't look at your life as something that you must do or be in this world as you live 70, 80, 90 years. That's not what it's all about. That's just like a drop of water in a big swimming pool. That's 70, 80, 90 years out of eternity. Your eternal life is about bringing glory to this King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
I don't know how else I could emphasize this. As far as we are concerned, he already has the first place in everything. Our knees are already bowed before him. Our tongues already confess that he is our Lord. We completely surrender to his will for us to live as Christ. We completely surrender to the will of Jesus Christ, who has the first place in everything. Do we witness, brothers and sisters, through our lives, in all aspects of our lives, that Jesus Christ is first in everything? Does your life really show this? Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do all to the glory of Jesus Christ, whom we confess to be the first in everything? Whether we die or live, do we desire that Jesus Christ will be exalted in our lives? He is preeminent over all things. This is not just a good phrase to say. All that we say, all that we do, all that we think must show that he is truly preeminent over all things.
Amen.
That he is the first in all things. See, this is the will of God. This is the purpose of God. And my question to all of us, do I completely surrender to God's will that Jesus be the first in all things? If the answer is yes, rejoice with me.
Amen.
In your life, whether you use your time and money, whatever that you do, does it show that Jesus is what really matters to you? That he is the priority? Because this is the will of God. Remember, just because you do not witness through your lives that He is preeminent, that does not make Him not preeminent. See, even that is not up to you. Just because you sin doesn't mean that He is first and everything now changes. You're just sinning, that's all. Because the fact still remains that He is the first in everything. But true Christians who are given this heart that loves Christ will rejoice to know that.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He is already preeminent. We must believe this and we must witness this reality. Not to do so is to sin. When the others see us, see how we live, will they see that for you and for me, Jesus Christ is first in all things? Or will they see that you are the priority, that you are first, that it is all about you? See, my... Please understand, brothers and sisters, I don't even think like this, okay? That purpose of this preaching is not to just come and make you feel guilty. Purpose is to show what God has done, what He has accomplished. That He has accomplished all things, that now Jesus is preeminent over all things. That is the reality, even though we don't see that right now. And one day when He returns, that reality will be visible. But that is the reality. He is the first. And I want all of us to think about how we live. And if Jesus is not first, then let us realize I'm not living according to the will of God. So let us repent. But at the same time, let us rejoice that He is preeminent.
Amen.
We cannot through our lives deny the eternal reality that our Lord has already accomplished. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20b through 22. God raised Him, Jesus, from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church. He put all things in subjection under His feet. All things must obey Him. That is what God has accomplished. And that will be visibly consummated when Jesus comes. When we all go to heaven and when everything is consummated, we will know that everything is under subjection under His feet. That everything will obey Him perfectly. And our purpose is to show that reality through our lives. That this is true. That this is indeed what God has accomplished for us. We cannot live a life that shows that we are not in subjection to our Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I do not show that Jesus is first in everything, then who will? Christians must do this. Our lives are not about what to eat and what to wear and what to drink or what kind of houses we have or what kind of car we drive. Our priority is not how we are going to be in this world. Our priority, number one, is Jesus Christ being preeminent over all things. especially our lives, that He is the first priority, preeminent.
Yes.
God is showing us who Jesus is to us. We must believe and we must live by faith. We must do this. And the reason for doing this is given in verse 19. Verse 19 says, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him." Jesus is preeminent over all things. Why? Because, simply, He is God. Jesus Christ is God. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9, "For in Him," Colossians chapter 2 verse 9, "For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." All that makes God God is in Jesus Christ. All the perfection of God, all the completeness of God, all the fullness of God, all God Himself dwells in Jesus Christ. He is 100% God, but at the same time, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, meaning that He is also 100% man. Two natures, one divine nature, one human nature. These two natures are united, but without conversion, without composition or confusion. See, these two natures are not mixed, not united to form a third form. No. He still has divine nature and still has human nature, and these two natures are united, but it's not mixed. Or there's a confusion. It's a mystery.
Yeah.
But this is what the Bible teaches us. Incarnation, meaning He becoming a man, God becoming a man. The second person in the Godhead become a man. And incarnation, and this is amazing, incarnation is forever. See, He did not just become a man for 33 years, and when He finished everything here on earth, as He goes up, He loses His manness. No, that's not what happened. Amazing grace is that He stays as a man forever. And He just mind-boggling to us, because you ask, why? Why would He do this? That it was His goodwill that at certain time in history and from that time on forever that He will be a man. God will be a man. His incarnation is forever. And it was His pleasing will, and it is still His pleasing will for Jesus to be a man forever. And why? But I could say it shows the degree of His love for us. It shows how much He loves us. Oh, brothers and sisters, see how much He loves you. As you believe, He becomes a man to save you. Even if you are not loved in this world, it is ultimately, it's okay. Because God loves you. Again, I'm not minimizing love that we receive from our parents, our brothers and sisters, our friends. But even if all that is not true, it's still okay. Because your true father loves you. And your true brother loves you. And your true friend loves you.
Hallelujah.
And it is Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ is the proof that God loves us. Jesus has become a man, our brother, and he wants to have that eternal fellowship with us. His transcendency, right? Transcendent meaning he's wholly other. He's not approachable.
Amen.
As God, he is like that, but at the same time, eminence of God, eminence, meaning that he's so close. So there's no this kind of God. See, when you go out there in the world, either God is like so far away that you cannot even have fellowship with God because he's so transcendent. There are many religions will teach their God like that, that he's so wholly other. Oh, what do you mean, personal relationship with God? No. Or that other religion will say, everything is God. But see, our God, only Christian God, is both transcendent and immanent at the same time. He's so unapproachable, but at the same time, he wants to have that personal relationship with us.
Hallelujah.
It is amazing. We are united to this God and man, Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 19 says, after a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live also. Meaning we too will resurrect, just like Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:23, we read this before, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after that, those who are Christ's in his coming. We are united with our Lord Jesus Christ in his death and his resurrection. Actually, in all things, we are united to him, except him being God. That we will never be. His reality is our reality. His life is our life. See, in him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. But what the Bible teaches us is that that fullness is also given to us because we are united to Christ. No, we're not saying we're going to be gods. But go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, for in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him, you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. NIV translation says, you have been given fullness in Christ. Do you understand? Do you know this? The fullness is given to us because Jesus is given to us. See, Jesus' fullness is not from us. Jesus Christ is God and man, but our fullness is from Christ.
Yes.
See, brothers and sisters, when you look at me, you don't just see my, you know, young Kim here, but I am a meeting of God and man also. See, when we look at Jesus Christ, we say, oh, he's God and man, but how about us? We are also meeting of God and man because I am a man, but God lives in me. See, what I'm trying to say here is that because of that fullness of Christ is in us, that we are united to Christ, everything that you could say about Christ, you could say about us, except him being God. Even saying that he is God-man, you could say that about you. You are also God meeting man. God lives in you.
Amen.
But be careful. There's difference, of course.
Yes.
But I want you to realize how blessed we are. Amen. In Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Now, question then. What are we lacking? Why we live our lives as if there's so many lacking in so much lacking in our lives?
Yes.
As if what Jesus Christ has accomplished it didn't completely fulfill. That something is missing, something is lacking. Why are we live like this? Just because we don't have much in this world? Well, that's just for next 50, 60, 70 years. After that, you're not even going to remember those things forever and ever. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you cannot go out and buy a house or buy a good car. But I want you to understand, even as you do it in terms of Jesus being first in your life.
Amen.
And if you do that, and I don't care what kind of car you buy, I don't care what kind of house you buy, it could be even like really, really expensive, I don't care, long as you, in your life, Jesus is first.
That's right.
But see, many times, that's not how it works, right? Many times it's because Jesus is not first that you will go buy those things. But God's will is that Jesus have the preeminence in everything. Seriously, what are we lacking? When it comes to the eternal things of heaven, what are we lacking? Absolutely nothing. Many Christians do not know what has been accomplished, what has been given to them. We will be like Jesus Christ. We have become like Him already spiritually. Do we realize the amazing thing that are already accomplished and the amazing things that are already given to us? Do you understand how much you do not need anything other than what you already have in Jesus Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 through 23. So then, let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you. Whether Paul, Apollo, Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, things to come, all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God.
Amen.
Do you understand? You have Jesus Christ and His kingdom as your eternal inheritance. You have all things. All of His kingdom is yours. But this world, God will destroy it. We cannot keep this world forever. Only until we live our lives here. When we die, eternal separation. Let me end this. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let us witness how preeminent our Lord Jesus Christ truly is. Let us show that. Let us, just whoever you meet, let us show that person that Jesus is number one in your life, that He is preeminent over all things. Because that is God's desire. That is His purpose. Everything happens for that purpose. And if you don't believe me, that all these things happen out there is happening for that purpose, if you don't believe, then just wait. When Jesus Christ comes back and when all history is over, let's see what remains. that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every knee will bow to Him, every tongue will confess. Ah, this is why I want that day to come quickly. Because it really doesn't matter what happens to me here. See, you know, I understood this. You know how like Jesus receives all the glory and here I am, even though I might not receive anything, I'm just so happy. I understand that concept just a little bit when I had my child. You know, when they're a baby, people will come and say how cute they are and how lovely they are. And it was praise to my kid, and yet I was so happy, you know, just standing beside him, I was just happy that he receives all the praise, and I didn't mind one bit at all. I was happy. And then even that example is not a good one because there's that earthly relationship, but I kind of understood that even when Jesus receives all the glory, I will be so happy just standing beside him.
Amen.
This is what Christian life is all about. That He receives all the glory. That He has that first place in all things. Let us witness how He is the first. That He is the priority number one. He has the first place in our lives. We exist to show the preeminence of our Lord Jesus Christ, now and forever. Oh, brothers and sisters, we exist for this reason. Amen. That forever and ever in heaven, and here, until we die, we exist to show that He has the preeminence over all things. But this is our true joy and honor. I mean, think about it. You know, if all this history and if all the redemptive history, if all this is about us, man, then it's just, it's nothing. It's not valuable at all. It is, if it is all about you right now, then your Christian life is still in infancy. We need to grow. Let us grow, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And realize that even this worship, even as we gather here to worship our God, what are we doing? We witness the preeminence of our Lord Jesus Christ. That He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Hallelujah.
He is number one. He is our priority number one. That's what we witness as we worship. It's not about us. Oh, people are so into, you know, what do I get from the worship? Well, that's important too, but think about how you could worship Him so that you could show that He is number one in everything that you could imagine, you could think about. I don't know how many people that I will find that who's willing to do this with me out there. But I have confidence that I will find many here. Brothers and sisters, let us do this together. Let us show that Jesus is everything.
Yes.
Because our verse says that He did all these things so that His Son, Jesus Christ, will have the first place in everything. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and thanksgiving. We thank you that your will is that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and God, whom we love, will have the first place in everything. Oh, Father, we desire the same thing because you have given us the mind of Christ. Oh, Father, let us show through everything that we do, say, and even what we think, by your grace, let us show that Jesus Christ is preeminent over all things, especially our lives. Oh, Father, receive much glory from Christ and heaven office.
Yes.
Pour out your grace upon us.
Yes.
That we may live according to your will. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and let us sing the last hymn, 654. Oh Jesus, I have promised thee.